Hello, and welcome to Living Vertical Radio, where we change the narrative of media by introducing you to creative and innovative individuals that inspire you with their unique stories. Our host is Cystine Duckworth, and you can call in or Skype into this program by calling 1-646-668-2928 #1. Please make sure your surrounding area is quiet because this is a live program. One Sure Sign Mobile Notary of Frisco, Texas provides professional notary service across the Dallas metro area. Our notary professionals are ready to help you with loan closings, power of attorney, fingerprinting, and other notary services. We meet you at your location of choice, your home, office, hospital, or local coffee shop, convenient to your schedule. Reliable, professional, and affordable. One Sure Sign is happy to support Living Vertical Radio here in Texas. Mention you heard this ad on Living Vertical for $5 off any notary service. Interested in advertising on our podcast with a listening audience of over 800,000? You can do a 15-second business ad, a 30-second radio ad, or a 10-minute interview radio ad. Our prices start out at $50. Contact us at info@verticalmediagroup.com. Our pricing is made to give everyone the ability to advertising no matter the budget. Thank you. And here's your host, Cystine Duckworth.
Good evening, everyone. And how are you today? It's been a little bit warm here in Arizona. And I'm hoping no one's having really adverse weather today, but I'm so happy to have you on our program, A Taste of Ink Live. Our guest is author Patrice Chavon Brown. So I'm going to read something that was on her website, and I'm going to read to you a little bit about Patrice, and then we're going to talk about her book. So here's the truth about life. At some point, we all have to face these difficulties. It is a part of our journey. You may be asking a question, but why? The question you should really ask is how to overcome. I've been there. I know what it's like. Let me help you transform your life to the peace you deserve. And this is from Patrice Chavon Brown's website, and I'd like you to meet my guest, Patrice Chavon Brown. She is a speaker, a life transformational coach dedicated to the cause of transforming the lives of individuals who feel stuck and unable to move forward in their life, relationships, parenting, or business. Her mission is to inspire individuals to take control of their life as everyone has their own individual uniqueness, self-worth, gifts and talents, which are given to them for a purpose. She will help you shift your mindset, which is ultimately will change your way of thinking. Her book title is Fat Girls Confidence. And the synopsis for Fat Girls Confidence is that most people think big girls have low self-esteem and do not feel as sexy as the models with the perfect bodies that we constantly see on TV. I never knew there was anything wrong with me, she says, until I kept seeing people on TV telling me I was too fat, too floppy, and definitely ugly. Every commercial, and we've seen this, emphasizes the need to have the perfect plastic factory body. Need I say more? So I'd like to welcome our guest, Patrice Chavon Brown. Welcome, Patrice. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good, good. I'm happy to have you on the program today and learn more about you and what you do. I've been to your website, and I see you do quite a bit of work, and we want to kind of touch on a little bit of all that. first I want to talk about what made you write this book. What was the experience that you had that even made you go on this course to help other people and to write a book?
Okay, so a Fat Girl's Confidence, it was just simply to inspire any woman out there, especially plus-size women, that has ever suffered with a low self-esteem or confidence issues, and if you've ever been judged for being overweight, I wrote this book for us. I'm a woman that has always struggled with weight since I was little, so I just felt the need. I work with women every day, and I just see I seen that there was a need to write about confidence in us women, even if we're plus size, being beautiful. So for me, it was a need, and I wanted to inspire women all over the world to just love who they are and, you know, begin to build up on self-esteem and self-care.
Well, it's interesting that you said that there was such a need. It's interesting that, you know, in the last few years, even on TV, we've had more, you know, more women that are large women that are on different shows. We've had not many commercials because commercials still, depending on what it is, you know, the person is, you know, slinky. But when you look at magazines, a lot of magazines and stuff are still have that kind of image. So, you know, looking at, and I know that you work in the, you know, as a coach and as a mental health
in a mental health field, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a counselor.
So did you have a lot of women that you were seeing that were coming in really feel depressed over this?
Yeah, I work with women that are overweight. Yeah, every day, each day. They were an inspiration for the book as well. You know, each day we're inspiring each other. So, yeah, there are so many different women that you wouldn't even think that suffers with low self-esteem because, you know, they've been beaten down growing up for their size.
Right.
You know, so... For me, it was a need for me to just hear some of the stories because women have written to me or, you know, they'll inbox me and let me know, like, hey, I read the book and, you know, it inspired me. You know, I got a chance for to sit back and think about some changes that I could make. One thing I want to make clear about a fat girl's confidence is that I never stated if you have a health issue for you not to lose weight. Some people get it misconstrued.
Right.
Some people think that I'm just saying, hey, if you're fat or blah, 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 just stay that way. No. What I was simply saying is if you wanted to lose weight, you need to build up your confidence first before trying to get to that next step. A lot of times mentally we aren't ready to lose the weight, but we'll tell ourselves that we're going to do it, and we never get around to doing it. So, you know, I wanted to make that clear. I know sometimes people would ask me, why did you put the word fat, not fluffy, or why not plus size? Well, my response to that was I just wanted to make you numb to the word fat because a lot of times we've heard the word fat and it's been used so negative that, you know, it would break us down when we hear it. But, no, a fat girl's confidence. I'm fat, so what?
Right.
You know, it'll just roll right off the brain. You're so used to hearing it, it won't affect you anymore.
Right, right. And I like the way you said it, you know, I'm fat, so what? You know, because even in families, if you come from a family that, you know, I can think of my aunt for one, just all through the years growing up, it seemed like everybody was always on a diet. And I never thought that, you know, anyone was, you know, really, I thought everybody was fine, but I was like, so why is everybody on a diet all the time? Which I think
obsessing.
Is a little bit detrimental too, right? Yes, because then you, at some form you have. But I'm glad you cleared it up as far as about being healthy as well, because I do know some people that are big people and very healthy, very, very healthy.
Right.
But still they struggle with that, you know, self-image because I think of what, you know, the world is just pretty much stereotyped fat people, period. And, you know, what it means and all that. And then you have, I was reading a little bit in your book, but the social media, I will have to say, does make it worse in the sense that people feel they can say anything because they're hiding behind the computer.
Right, right. That tears us down more than anything. I agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, the world that we live in right now is so easy to attack someone and bully people.
Right, right. So how do you help? Because I know there's a little difference between adults that have this self-image issue, but I think that it's probably even worse with teenagers or young girls. I would say starting at 12 that are probably going to school and really don't have the tools to probably help them kind of get through this. What have you done to help young women through this?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. Actually, my specialty is surrounding with the adults. I pretty much work
okay.
with the adults. But I have went and did some speaking engagements with some teens. But it wasn't pretty much centered on, you know, being overweight or anything. It was pretty much focusing on, like, your future. But if I was given a chance to go talk to young girls that suffer with some type of self-esteem issue, I would pretty much just encourage them to just be who they are. Accept who you are
right.
first. You know, ignore what other people are saying and doing. And if it's some changes that you want to make, make those changes. You know, prepare yourself. Talk with your parents about what it is that you want to do that's different. You know, put some steps in place. So whatever goal it is that you have that you want to transform about yourself, you can make it happen. That's what I would tell any young girl. And just simply believe in who you are. Don't let anybody turn you down or just tell you that you're ugly or you're not attractive. You know, I think, what was that story? Was it like the ugly duckling or something? At first the little duckling was ugly, but then they grew up to be like this beautiful duckling. People change every day. We're going to always continue to change. Nobody's never going to be the same either.
I like that when you say people do change, because I say that too. I always say at any minute a person can change their whole life. You know, it's that
right.
It could happen that quick. Yeah, it could happen that quick. So when you're counseling ladies, and one of the things that I noticed in your book, there's a lot of there's a lot of repetition around telling yourself that you're beautiful, telling yourself that, you know, giving yourself affirming.
The affirmation.
Encouragement
each day.
Encouragement. How successful have you been with that technique?
The positive self-talk is, to me, it's been successful. I've heard some good feedback about it. They start believing in who they are. You know, they start having a different concept and different thought patterns about who they could be, even if they aren't just yet, but they start changing how they think and what they do. And, you know, I've been using it already in mental health, in counseling. You know, I just put it inside the book. Change your thinking. You know, you can change your life.
So, and then I noticed that, you know, and then you lead them into the pledge. How did you come up with the idea of having them do a pledge? Because I think a pledge is neat, because it's kind of a one thing I always say, there has to be something that's kind of like seals the deal, you know, or it's almost like a graduation type thing. There has to be something that brings, you know, as well as affirming, but kind of seals the deal in your heart. So how did you come up with the pledge idea?
Okay, so the pledge for me was like your ultimate goal. Each day we're going to set a goal, or each year, again, I'm a counselor, mental health counselor, we set goals all day long. You know, this is what we do. We want you to look forward to something. We want you to look forward to the change. So in this book of Fat Girls Confidence, we're talking about boosting self-esteem and confidence. What's going to be your ultimate goal? I want you to make a pledge to yourself, you know, even if it's 1 year pledge, 3 year, 5 year. At the end of the day, make a pledge, make this goal to yourself, go back and look at it, you know, and celebrate. Celebrate each year. Even if you don't make it to that goal, still celebrate. Celebrate your failures anyway. So the pledge pretty much for me, like you said, was sealing the deal, and it was just simply for anybody that reads this book to just say, hey, I'm really going to do this, and I'm going to go back and I'm going to check and see how much I've grown, if I'm feeling better, if I'm looking better, you know, if I'm taking better care of myself. If I want to lose this weight, I'm going to lose the weight. Where am I right now in my life? I'm going to make a pledge to me, and I'm going to stick to it.
Mm-hmm. What was the turning point in your life for you to get to the point that to really have confidence in your self-image? So there has to have been a turning point for you to say, okay, this is what it is. I'm not going to be sad about it anymore. I'm not going to let anyone talk about me anymore, and I'm just going to embrace this.
I think for me, it started younger. I accepted it younger on. Like, my granddad, he was sort of kind of picky-fied in a way. You know, I was the little chubby one, and my cousin, she was the slim one. So he already went on ahead and conditioned me to thinking, like, well, okay, this is who you are. Accept who you are. And, you know, there's going to be other people that might not like your size. So I accepted my differences early on. But I learned to embrace it, dress it up, you know, presenting myself in a certain manner. So I'm going to say maybe like around age 14, you know, I noticed that I was developing faster than other people that were my age. I did develop faster, breast, and, you know, I was different. And I was always a little bit chubbier than the rest of my relatives and stuff. So just looking at how different you are and learning to accept it and live with it and be the best, I guess.
Right.
That was me.
So as a mental health expert, how do you handle, because I would say, you know, you probably hear a lot of things. I do have some other friends that work in the mental health industry. How do you handle the overwhelmingness of being with some clients to, you know, being able to juggle home and being a writer?
I've been writing about that too. Oh, wow. So juggling it, taking a break. I'm going to say trying to balance my home life and having some alone time to myself so I won't go crazy. You know, that's one of my other books, Secrets of a Crazy Mental Health Counselor, me learning to balance that personal life versus the professional life. And it's basically taking a stress reliever moment, if that's a vacation, self-care, you know, just taking a break away from the kids and from the office, from the members, just basically sitting to myself, meditating, and just organizing my time. Putting everything in priorities, what's most important, that's what it is that I learned to do.
So what do you like the most, or what are you most passionate about in your, you know, because you definitely have a passion for helping individuals transform. What is the passion, what is the part of it that you're more passionate, are you passionate about the transformation, working through to the transformation, and what you see at the end?
Seeing them come in through the door first, listening to the issue, and then helping them problem solve, and pretty much seeing the results. But the biggest part of it, the real true passion comes in, is if you can keep people stabilized with the plan that you all came up with and mastering those goals so that you can move on to the next. So for me, it's all of it in a way. But it could become stressful if it doesn't go as planned, you know. But the most exciting part is to actually see them change, at least a little bit, because it takes forever for some people to change. For others, it's much more easier. So, yeah.
Yes.
Just even if it's a little bit of change, it's change. If a person that was homeless got a house, for me, that's excitement. That's passion. Oh, we helped them get home. Now we have to make sure that they become stabilized and keep it, and they're cleaning it, and they're, you know, doing A, B, and C inside this home. Yeah.
What is the, what do you say to yourself, or what are you thinking when a person comes in and they don't necessarily make it through the process? What is the first thought in your mind of maybe why they didn't make it through?
They weren't ready themselves.
Uh-huh.
They weren't ready, or an addiction, or an addiction held them back, or somebody else held them back. You can't help everybody. That's something I've had to learn. You'll drive yourself crazy. But you have to be ready. You have to be ready for change, and you have to, you know, realize your faults and how to grow through them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's talk about those other books that you've written, because I did see a couple of books you've written. Tell me something more about your books.
Okay. Since we talked about mental health, we touched on Secrets of a Crazy Mental Health Counselor. That was my very first book that I wrote back in 2017. And, again, this book was pretty much me, like, journaling, just getting some things off my chest. You know, me trying to disclose, like, my personal life versus my professional life. You know, like, I disclose a couple different things about myself, you know, and how I've felt crazy as a counselor, because sometimes, you know, we have, like, this perfect face when we're in different positions, but I wanted the world to know, like, no, every day for me it's something, you know, that I have to battle or balance. So that very first book was me journaling, because I always tell, like, my clients, my members, like, write. You know, write out those emotions, write out that anger, whatever it is, write it down, you know, come up with a plan. So I do that myself. So that was my very first book, Secrets of a Crazy Mental Health Counselor. Now, I have two children's books. Some people didn't really like The Day Mama Made Me Dance. This was a book that me and my daughter came up with because, again, I like writing. So she it's really a metaphor book. The little girl dances, but she doesn't really dance. And some cultures wouldn't understand this book, you know, if you didn't grow up in a home like that. So some people were offended by the book, so I didn't really get that many good reviews or feedback from it, but it's something that me and my daughter still came up with. It was something that she wanted me to put out there.
Nice. So, okay.
So We Blend Well Together is my second children's book. That one's a little bit better. It's about blended families. A boy wants his mom to get married, and, you know, he's looking at the new blended family, not only at his mom's house, but at his dad's house. And, you know, he's going through different phases in life. So We Blend Well Together was like my second children's book. Some people enjoyed that. And let me see. I have written, of course, you guys know about A Fat Girl's Confidence. And that one was my fourth one.
Okay.
I also have an e-book. It's A Fat Girl's Confidence, Beating Depression. That pretty much talks about beating depression, and you don't have to just be a fat girl. But I wanted to start, like, a series for that particular A Fat Girl's Confidence, you know. So I wanted to talk about depression as well. Depression goes with self-esteem and, you know, your character. Some people suffer with it. And then I wrote two fiction books, The Finesser and The Finesser 2. And that was pretty much it's like, I wanted to write books in different genres to see which one. If I could do certain stuff. I like to push myself to see, like, well, let's see if you could do this. But The Finesser pretty much is like a con man that's trying to, you know, scheme this woman. It's got a bunch of twists and turns, and this is really good. It's a really good book. The woman actually tricks the man by the end of the book. So,
Oh,
I think it's about six or seven books.
All right. Good for you. Good for you. So you are so busy. You are so busy. So let me ask you now, what was probably your biggest challenge when it came to writing Fat Girl's Confidence? What was the challenge for you?
My challenge, I guess maybe like the editing part, the marketing. For me, I just write. I just really like to write. It wasn't really a hard thing for me to write a fat girl's confidence because I'm a fat girl. You know, I'm coming based off of my life, my experience. I have a whole bunch of other fat girls around me, you know, that I work with. You know, this is in reality, it's natural. It's what I do already. It's what I teach. So I just wanted to write down in the book what I already have been teaching and talking about to the other people. So it's real life. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't a challenge.
And saying that it's not a challenge, I will say I have to agree with you that editing is a challenge and so is marketing. When I talk to when I talk to authors, that's probably the one of the top things along with marketing, because the whole thing about you know, marketing on social media and, you know, it's just can be a lot, you know. Most writers, most writers are doing it on your own. So did you do your own editing or did you hire someone to do your editing?
When I first released the book, I think I did have an editor. I did have somebody go back and edit my stuff. No, it was when I messed up my very first book, I didn't really have an editor for that, but I had somebody to go back and redo it. But, yeah, I had an editor for Fat Girl's Confidence. I did. I had learned my lesson from the very first one. I feel like every time you write a book, you're going to learn a new lesson about something. So, yeah, I did get editing done.
So what do you think about some women use fat to hide behind from whatever problems or trauma they may have gone through in their life? Do you beat women that are like that?
They use fat to hide behind the trauma.
I know.
They're eating their pain away.
I met a lady who had gained a lot. I volunteer at a nonprofit, and that's what they do is they help at-risk women. And they had gained a lot of weight. And by the time they went through the program, they actually lost the weight. They lost a lot of weight, but it was interesting because she really kind of realized that she was eating not because she was just, you know, liking food, but, you know, to kind of keep away just unwanted attention that she dealt with, you know, throughout her life. So it was kind of, interesting that was kind of that, you know, one reason why she had gained all the weight is she just didn't want to be bothered. She didn't want to deal with a lot of things. And I think the reason she came in, it was for some other reason that she came in, but all of that was a factor to her gaining her transformation. And that's one of the reasons why I ended up volunteering there was because I saw women that were actually went through a real transformation when they came out on the other side. And it was awesome to see that, you know, for them to share all that to start their journey. So how do you know when someone's ready to start their journey, though?
Sometimes they're going to come to you and they're going to talk about it. You know, some people might not come straight out and talk about it. They'll beat around the bush, you know, give you, like, some examples. You know, and then you could just open up the conversation. And for me, it just goes from there. They'll start asking questions. And for me, I start doing some research to try to help them. If I don't have the answers and things, you know. But that's how it starts with the people that I've been around.
Okay. But you do in your book, you essentially give some great tools in your book from what I read. I'll help my listeners who are out there listening. If you buy the book, you know, for yourself or for someone else, you know, pick up a copy. You can get the book at Amazon right now. Or what is your website, Patrice, for everyone to hear?
It's patricechavon.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you have a Facebook page?
Yeah, the Facebook page is Patrice Chavon Brown page, and Instagram is Patrice_Chavon.
Okay, all right. And do you have a lot of people that contact you through your social media?
They do Instagram. I do have, like, a Fat Girl's Confidence page, but a lot of people follow me under Patrice @Shavon_Siobhan. And they do go to the website and they sign up for like session, like we'll do like a free 30-minute session where I'm talking to them. They get to ask me anything and, you know, I give them some feedback. Not advice, but some feedback, you know.
So from all the books that you read and I saw on your site, so you did, you have now started your own business in the mental health field. How difficult was it for you to start your business? When did you start your business?
I started it in 2011. And the name of my business is Restoring Bodies and Minds. Again, we work with adults with severe or persistent mental illness. For me, starting my business was clearly my goal, my leveling up goal. This was what I've always wanted to do. My family always ran group homes, so it was natural for me to be a helper. And I had worked my way up, you know, with my education and then my working experience. I've been working in mental health since 2003 here in North Carolina. So it was just time. You know, I would always go to my supervisors and ask them questions. You know, that's what we're supposed to do if we want to, if we see something that we like and want, we need to go to people and ask questions. And that's what I did. I was curious. And I started working my way towards my goal.
Good. Well, that's great. That's awesome. That is a great one of the things that we do on this program when we have people listening is because it gives them an idea that people start not just writing, people start businesses and they have so much great information on how they did things. So what do you feel at this time has been your success? Because success is different for everyone. It's not necessarily oh, I made a whole lot of money, or I'm going to sell a million books. What is your ideal of your success? What has it been?
Okay, well, my ideal of success is to still be in business for 10 years, to still be stable. I don't have to be a millionaire. You know, most people go crazy off. I'm making six figures, and I've helped change some people's lives, you know. I see the change every day. You know, these people weren't stable, but we brought them into stabilization. So for me, success is different, just seeing people's lives change, being in business, being able to feed my family, having a roof over my head and helping other people do the same thing. So that's success for me.
So who keeps you encouraged in your family to keep moving? Because even though your passion can spur you to, you know, keep getting up every day, it could be a little bit daunting and overwhelming and tiresome. So who inspires you at home or otherwise to just keep getting up and keep going?
It used to be my mom before she died in 2017. Currently, my inspiration is my children and looking at my family, my siblings. Like, I have to keep on going for them. You know, they're depending on me. You know, me looking at other people that are doing different things on TV, that's an inspiration as well. And just hearing certain songs, that's inspiration, motivation. I mean, I can't think of anything else that motivates me or inspires me except, you know, my mom's my angel, and she's inspired and pushed me the most out of everybody because we've had to survive. We've got to survive. So, yeah.
Right. Okay. I heard that. So what kind of advice, because you've written more than one book, so I'll ask you, as a writer, what type of advice would you give to an up-and-coming writer about what you learned when you were writing a book?
Well, first of all, just go ahead and write. But make sure you get an editor. Make sure you look into marketing. And just know that you don't have to get some publisher to publish you. You can take it into your own hands to be independent and still get things done. You know, if you fail at one thing, try something different. Never give up.
Oh, nice. Very nice. So what kind of advice would you give any girl who's out here listening? And if you're out there listening, hey, you know what? You know, contact me at info@verticalmediagroup.com because we have two of Patrice's books to give away. So what kind of advice would you give a lady who's listening today about self-love and self-worth?
Wow. Self-love and self-worth. Start believing in who you are when you look in that mirror. You know, start telling her that she's beautiful, that she's strong, that she's capable of doing whatever it is that you feel is holding you back, positive things, into your mind and into your body. And just look at the different changes that will take effect.
Okay. All right. Well, Patrice, thank you for being on our program today. And I've enjoyed talking to you. God, I didn't know you had so many books until I read your website. but we'll have to have you come on again and talk more about mental health, because mental health is an issue that we're all trying to deal with at this time. And I still believe it's something that we're scared to talk about. We don't want to feel like we're sick. Right. We don't feel looking at us like we're sick, and it's not really, you know, it really is a mindset change, and I'm hoping to hear more individuals come out for mental health so we can make it more normalized and really start getting some real help for individuals. So, yeah, look for me to contact you on that one. It's been great hearing you, and it's been great, you know, knowing that you started your own business, because that is an industry, girl. I admire you there. I admire you there for getting into that. It's an awesome passion to have. So definitely we'll be looking for you to come and join us again. If you want to find Patrice's book again, I say you can go to her website at patricechavon.com. or at Amazon, and we're going to have this interview in Vertical Life Magazine, and we'll be sharing it with all our social media, so you'll be able to find out how to contact Patrice if you have any more questions. And again, Patrice, thank you for being part of our program.
Thank you for having me.
So those of you that have supported us, we want to just tell you we appreciate you, but I also want to let you know that the event, the Book Fest, is starting Saturday, April 17th through Sunday, April 18th, and it's going to be a fantastic event. So if you're, you know, near your computer online and you want something to do, especially all the authors, you know, you definitely want to go and look into the Book Fest. TheBookFest.com is where you're going to go to see who's in there. So thank you again, everyone, for attending. Our guest today was Patrice Chavon Brown. And definitely, if you want to get in touch with me or her, you'll be able to get more information. This has been A Taste of Ink Live, part of Vertical, Living Vertical Radio. Thank you.
Thank you to our faithful listeners. This has been Living Vertical Radio. And you have been listening to our host, Cestine Duckworth. Stay tuned to our next program. Interested in getting your business in front of a worldwide audience? Contact info@verticalmediagroup.com. That's info@verticalmediagroup.com for details. And now, a word from our sponsors.
Books that make you laugh. Books that make you scream. Books that make you hope. And books that make you dream. What's on your bookshelf? Discover the books that make you who you are on BooksThatMakeYou.com. Read book reviews. Meet the authors who pour their souls into the books you love. And enter to win bookish prizes. If you're a bibliophile, then Books That Make You is your new best friend. Visit BooksThatMakeYou.com or find us on Insta and Facebook.